Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Let's get into today's talk. Well, as I mentioned earlier, this is Palm Sunday. And if you were not here at the beginning, it's one of the beautiful holidays in the Christian tradition. This is the beginning of what is called the Holy Week. And in a week from now, we celebrate Easter. And then in a few days from now, we acknowledge Good Friday. And if you're unfamiliar with the phrase or the words Good Friday, it's a little bit of a paradox because it actually can almost be understood as a dark, terrible night. And so understand that's the Good Friday is a representation of when Jesus went to the cross and died. But Palm Sunday is different. Palm Sunday is kind of the beginning of this week long in the Christian faith and the Christian tradition, specifically in the Western expression. We call this the Holy Week. And we're excited. We're going to take some time today to dive into what Palm Sunday is about and what's taking place in the scriptures around this. And then next Sunday, we're of course going to do Easter. And then we're going to celebrate all of it by the third Sunday from now, which will have baptism. And so these next few weeks for us is just an exciting time of year. And I want to draw your attention. I grew up in a culture where we had this half joke and very serious. And it was every Sunday is Easter. And I agree, every day is Easter. And I agree with that in principle. I agree with it in truth. But I do believe it's important to slow down for a moment and Palm Sunday and Easter coming up, to talk about it just a little bit more emphasis and draw our attention back to it for a lot of reasons. Some of the primary reasons for me is some of us have been following Jesus for a long time and it becomes too familiar. And I want to bring our attention back to the beauty, the pain, the horrificness, if that's a word, of the story and the beauty of what comes out of that. And then for others, maybe you're new to the faith and you haven't dove into the story to understand what's happening. And I know for me, I've been following Jesus my whole life. And each year when I come into Easter, I just force myself to slow down, to acknowledge what's happening. So that's what we're going to do today and then even next week as well. If you want to follow along with me in the scriptures, if you could get your Bibles open, your apps open, go to Matthew 21. And if for some reason you don't have any of those, find someone in your row or peek over the shoulder of the person in front of you, but let them know what you're doing because that could be really awkward. But go to Matthew chapter 21. We're actually going to read verse 1 through 11. And then we're just going to take our time and kind of unpack what's taking place in these 11 verses. So let's start in verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did exactly as Jesus had commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down palm branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Last verse, verse 11. So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. If you go back to verse 9, there's a word there, it says Hosanna. The word Hosanna actually means to save now, like save me right now. And then I want to draw your attention to one more word in verse 10. It says, all the city was moved. The word moved there is actually a verb to describe an earthquake. What's happening around this passage and what's happening in this moment is the Passover is taking place. And many people had come to Jerusalem, as was their tradition. The numbers are staggering, so much so that Matthew had to use an earthquake word to describe what it was like being in this space. So let your imagination go to how many people that might be. And what's beautiful about this story is each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talk about this story. And if you're unfamiliar, Matthew, Luke, and John are called the Synoptic Gospels, which basically mean they're very similar. Some have some stories that others don't. But in generally speaking, all four Gospels are four different perspectives on the same story. What a gift to have four different perspectives on the story of Jesus and the life of Jesus. I'm so glad that that was done. But today we're going to mainly focus on Matthew's perspective, and not for any other purpose than I just wanted to use it for today's text, for today's talk. But the Passover is taking place, and so you can imagine there are many people coming. In Jerusalem, as many ancient city, was a walled city. And so there's villages outside of the city. And what the villages would do is they would have supplies and animals that people could purchase or get as they go celebrate the Passover. The Passover was one of three pilgrimage feasts that the nation of Israel or the Jewish people would celebrate. And the Passover specifically was to celebrate their escape from slavery from Egypt. So every year they would come and they would throw these feasts. They have multiple feasts, and this one was taking place at this time. So when Jesus is going into Jerusalem, he's coming into a city that is full of people. And they're all celebrating a past liberation. They're celebrating a time that none of them existed, but their ancestors experienced being set free from slavery. They're in this mood, if you will, of celebrating them being a free people. But here's the problem. They're oppressed again. Now we have what's called the Roman Empire. So you have a people group that has experienced oppression continually through the generations. So in the midst of celebrating being set free from a previous oppression many years prior, they find themselves in another oppression from the Roman Empire. So imagine the paradox of that, being in oppression, but you're celebrating being set free from another one. It's kind of like, how do we fully embrace this? Like we just went from one problem to another one. Imagine the emotional framework, the psychological framework. Imagine the children saying, I don't get why we're celebrating this because we're still stuck. And moms are like, shh, knock it off. This is what we do. And dads are like, I get it. You see, this is the dynamic of what's at play here. This is the emotional framework, the psychological temperature of a people. And so when Jesus comes into the scene, something begins to shift. They begin to recognize, because for some of them, they've known Jesus for a week, for some a year, for some a couple of years. And if you're the disciples, you've been with him for 3 years straight. And then others grew up around Jesus and saw him go from a child to a young man and to this mature adult that was creating a lot of tension in this part of the world. He was creating a lot of dynamics that was causing the religious establishment, the political establishments, to really deeply struggle with his existence. And as you follow the life of Jesus, you hear these stories and these statements by the religious and political establishments like, we don't know what to do with this guy. He's very fringe. His little group of disciples and religious sect was on the fringe of society, and so they could somewhat hold it at bay. They could discourage it, but they couldn't fully squash it. And now Jesus is coming into a city, and it's clear that this is moving from the fringe into a different space as a group of people. And it wasn't just a handful of people now. It is now in the multitudes that Matthew had to use the verb for an earthquake to describe what it felt like in the environment. So this is the scene that we're in. And in John actually tries to describe the intensity of how many people are present in this city at this moment. In John 12, 19, he says this, look how the whole world has gone after him. This is what one of the Pharisees said, and John writes that down. Look at the whole world. Imagine feeling like everyone in the known world had gone after Jesus. This is an intense, incredibly powerful, beautiful moment. But what's fascinating to me when I read this story is it feels backwards. It feels so opposite of what's supposed to happen. This is a celebration. This is a parade of sorts. And the parade is happening before Easter. Like, it would make way more sense to me if this happened after Easter. Like, Jesus comes out of the grave. They're waiting for him. They get the donkey in place. They put him on the donkey and say, we won. And they walk through the city. But that doesn't happen. It's the exact opposite. The script is, let's celebrate first. But you have to be honest about it, because the people had no idea Good Friday was coming. They had no idea that Easter was even going to be necessary. They just thought, this is it. The only human that knew was Jesus himself. This is the party before the day. This is the day before the day. This is the week before tragedy. You see, we're used to parties afterwards. Super Bowl. Only one team gets to celebrate. Only one team gets to have a parade. Kansas City Chiefs, which still break my heart, but they won this year. 49ers went home in grieving, but we'll be back. We will be back. And Kansas City Chiefs, they go home after they won the game. They're clearly the winners. And they went back, and guess what? They threw party after party after party, and people showed up in the millions on the streets. This is what happened afterwards. But why would you throw a parade before? Why would you have a birthday before your birthday? Some of you have really stretched your birthdays out now. You're like, it's my birthday month. And you just love starting way before you even existed. You've just stretched it out. And I'll be honest with you, it's a very enticing idea personally. I'm like, I think I'm going to start mine in April. Mine beginning of May, so I got to, you know. But you see, we don't do that. You don't celebrate before. But here you have a moment where Jesus begins to celebrate before. This is the party before he knew he was going to war. I wonder what it was like in the transcendent dimension. What was happening in the atmosphere? I wonder what it was like. I have a feeling it was a lot of anxiety. I have a feeling there was a lot of nervousness. I have a feeling there was incredible anticipation. And then I had a pretty strong sense that there was a lot of confusion. Like, what is happening? What is happening right now? And this day gets its name Palm Sunday because as Jesus is coming into the city, they were cutting down branches on palm trees. And they were laying them on the ground. They were taking their cloaks off, laying on the ground as an entrance for a king. So when you read Hosanna in the highest, what they're saying is, Jesus, save us now. As we celebrate a previous liberation, we need you to create the now liberation. So they're declaring, Jesus, Hosanna in the highest. Their expectation was peaking because they've been waiting for centuries for this one person called the Messiah. And when they were finally convinced this was the one, and Jesus was very clear, I am he. So it wasn't like, shh, don't tell anybody. That was the early part of the ministry. But as you get to this part of this day, Jesus was like, that's me. I am the Messiah. And the people are now resonating with that reality, saying, I don't just get to tell my grandchildren about it. I now get to tell them I lived in it. This is the moment that's taking place, and Jesus comes into the city. So they're waving palm branches, they're throwing palm branches on the ground and cloaks on the ground, and Jesus is on a donkey. And you might ask, why a donkey? You see, in the West, donkeys is like the bottom of the list for four-legged creatures. Here we're like, that's like, who wants a donkey? Let's put a horse. You want a beautiful, majestic black stallion. But a donkey? You see, what we're missing, we don't understand, donkey had a symbolic significance in the Middle East, especially in this context. You see, a donkey was a representation of service, of humility, and peace. So when Jesus mounts on a donkey, he's saying, I come with humility, I come to serve, and I come in peace. A horse has the complete opposite. A horse means I come in war. So Jesus mounts on a donkey, comes into the city, and the other nuance in here is that if you are not the king of a city, you are not allowed to ride on an animal through the gates of the city. You're supposed to dismount, and only the king could go in through the gates on their animal. And Jesus sits on the animal and comes through the gates. You want to know why the religious political establishment has such a hard time with them? Because he was breaking all the rules. He's upending all of this. It is no surprise why they killed him. It is no surprise at all. Because by that point, they were like, we just need to manage this guy. We got to find a way to just kind of make him go away. Now, they realize the only option we have left on the table is to kill him. This is why Palm Sunday set off a chain of events that could not be reversed, that could not be stopped. Peter tried chopping ears. He thought that would work. He thought if I chop this guy's ear off, I'm going to protect Jesus. It was too late. The snowball effect had begun. But what's interesting is Jesus actually, we came in peace, but he was actually heading to a war. So it would make more sense to me if Jesus got on a horse. He would have said, yeah, I'm going to war. You all don't know it, but I'm actually going to war. But he chose a donkey. I come in peace. And then the other significance about a donkey is when you come into a city, when a king would take over a city, when they would take over a people, they would ride into the city on a donkey, and they basically, another way of saying, you have a new ruler now, and it's me. So all of the significance of this four-legged creature that we could care less about had eternal ramifications. And Jesus goes on a donkey, he's saying, guess what? I'm the new king. And I come in peace. But no one knows he's actually going to war. This is so Jesus. I mean, he just flipped the script. Tim Keller said, we're part of an upside-down kingdom. This is the opposite of what we would want or what we would do. We're like, let's do the cross and let's throw a parade. But Jesus, no, we're gonna do it this way. I don't think they would have palm branches and singing Hosanna if they knew Good Friday was come. Can you imagine what it was like if you were at that parade? From what we read, a lot of people were there. A lot of people were like, it's happening. Jesus is traveling through the city to go sit on the throne. So now he can be in charge of all of our politics, all of our religion. He can be a part of it. He can rule over all of our society. And then just a few days later, they find him on a cross. Imagine what that was like. Wait, what just happened? We were just celebrating he's the king, and now he's dying. Imagine the tension in this moment. Imagine what it was like for people to be so deeply confused. You see, the loneliness Jesus experienced was the loneliness we'll never experience. Being so removed from any realm of understanding, from anyone, he was the only one that could fully understand this. I can imagine the tension from Palm Sunday to Good Friday. I mean, that's a lot's going down. And this is what we're reading about today. This is what we're understanding. This is why this is the sacred day in our Christian faith. Sadly, but it had to happen. It set off a chain of events. The other beautiful thing about the donkey is we read it in Matthew, but it's actually a reference to an old passage in Zechariah. And the prophet Zechariah says this in 9, verse 9. You can write that down. I'm just going to read it to you. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So I want to propose to you, why would Jesus come in victorious before the battle had even been fought? Why would Jesus orchestrate this? Why would God orchestrate this chain of events where we're gonna have a parade to celebrate his kingship? We're going to say we've won before Good Friday has happened. I want to propose to you that in the kingdom, you can have victory before the war's over. You can have victory before the battle even started. There's a dimension of reality that Jesus pulls us into in this moment. This simple riding on a donkey into a city and all of the things that surrounding this, he is communicating in a frequency which we now can draw from and say we can actually live in a dimension of reality that isn't circumstantial, that isn't affected by the circumstance. We now can have joy before there's ever a reason to have joy. We now can have hope before there's ever a breakthrough that gives you a sense of hope. You now can have courage before you really need it. You see, this is what Jesus is doing. He's setting a kingdom way of thinking, a kingdom reality. And he's saying, the reason why I can do this is because I've already won. He still has to go through Good Friday. He still has to go through all the details and moments leading up until that point. And then 3 days of being in the grave, he knew that was coming, but he knew he had already won. He knew that he was going to come out winning. And I wonder how much of this can we walk out of here today going, you know what? My joy is not dependent if something good happened. My joy is dependent because I know whose team I'm on. My hope is anchored not in because of my abilities or things line up and things work out because I prayed for it. My hope is anchored in another dimension that no matter what happens between now and next Sunday, guess what? We still win. This is why having a victorious, hopeful mindset is crucial in today's age. Some of us are trying to anchor our victorious mindset on the present circumstances, waiting for them to change, and then we feel victorious and hopeful. Jesus is saying, I'm inviting you into another dimension. And I'm demonstrating it by doing it right now. So Palm Sunday kicked off a chain of events, but also communicated one of the most intelligent, brilliant dimensions of the kingdom. You can live in hope when there's no reason to have hope. You can give joy when there's no reason to have joy. You can have courage when there's no reason to have courage. And this is what we see in the life of Jesus. This is what's happening. And this is what he's inviting us into. I guarantee you, you're going to walk out of this room and you're going to run right back into life. Actually, life is going to chase you down. You're going to get back. You're inspired right now. I'm inspired. I'm so inspired by myself. Just being honest. I'm like, man, I'm pumped. Let's go. Let's do this thing. But we're going to walk out of this room today. And guess what? Boom. Going to hit us right in the face again. It's right there. Remember this. Okay, this is the moment I have access to another dimension. I don't know how to do it, but that's where I'm moving towards it. I'm moving toward this reality. And this is why Jesus could step into any human situation and he always provided another option. And when there are no options in front of him, he created another one. The Pharisee said, should I do this or do this? He said, well, there's another option over here. He constantly did that. They tried to triangulate him into all these corners, and Jesus always, because he lived in another dimension. And he's invited us right into that. If you have your Bible, we're going to read one more passage. This is the proper Sunday to read a good amount of scripture. But I want to help you to understand even more why there was so much emotion on this day. why there was so much hope when they said, Hosanna in the highest, save us now. Why there was so much leverage on this moment is because they were all holding on to this promise that we can read in Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. The whole chapter is phenomenal. I'm just going to read three verses. This is what we can understand. This is what was vibrating in their soul is this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. How many need some comforting while you're mourning? And to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. How many rather have beauty than ashes? The oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. These three verses were in their DNA. This is why they showed up and laid down the palm branches. What they did not realize is that things had to happen for them to actually step into that reality. This is what was vibrating. This was the frequency. You cut them open. This is what you'll find, this hope of this promise that Jesus was going to come and set the captives free. This is why the next week is so important to our faith. This is why, because this is the essence of the gospel, and it's the essence of what Easter is about. It Jesus came to set the captives free. Maybe you have had the party where Jesus showed up in your life. I'm looking around the room, and I know many of us have given our life to Jesus. We've said yes to him. We've invited him in, and maybe we've had our own personal Palm Sunday where Jesus comes riding into your life. You're like, man, my gates are open. You come on in. And then the next day, we're like, why has nothing changed? We're like, wait, okay, I feel forgiven. My eternity is with him. And I'm experiencing life. I'm experiencing all these beautiful things. But then life just seems to sometimes stay the same. Why is my marriage still struggling? Why is my finances in upheaval? Why is my job so frustrating? And we're like, okay, hold on here. I want to propose to you, Jesus didn't come in to fix all your problems. He came in to bring you into another dimension that wouldn't be affected by all your problems. I want you to get this. This is meat right here. He came into your life. Now, if you ask me, do I think Jesus can fix marriages? 100%. But he has to change you first, and you have to actually want to change. You see, we're wanting Jesus to come in and just kind of line everything up. Hey, Jesus, we want to hand our free will back to him and say, would you just put it back in order, and then I'll take it back? That's what we would like. But that's not how it works. He comes into your life, and if you allow him, he will change you, so all the situations will change in your life. So I want to propose to you, Palm Sunday isn't just some amazing story in Scripture that sets off Easter week. It's actually incredibly personal to you. Some of you right now are in seasons of your life where you've been made aware of some areas in your life that you should probably work on. This is Palm Sunday. I don't want to work on those things. It's too hard. Last time I did it, I got really hurt. Guess what? You're going to have to figure out how to go through it, because every Easter requires a Good Friday. If we were to be really honest, we don't even want Easter, because if Easter is what we want, you have to go through Palm Sunday to Good Friday to get to Easter. So if you're expecting yourself to change and to come out victorious, you have to be willing to go through Good Friday. But guess what? The beauty is Jesus comes in Palm Sunday and says, this is how you can do it. So Palm Sunday is the day to celebrate our King. Why don't you stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.